I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, September the 14th, as we head into weekend of Phillies baseball where the Phillies host the Marlins, and we could probably, a lot of us, not be much less interested, sadly, as the Phillies season, as we discussed yesterday and really for the last week plus or so, has officially, at least in my mind, come to an end. There will be no 2007 type glory for this team where they come back from seven down with 17 to play. It's worse than that, but in addition to that, it's not going to happen. And I think we all kind of get that at this point when you look at, A, obviously how well the Braves have been playing, and assuming that they are not going to fall into an utter collapse like the Mets did in 07, but more so how this Phillies team has been playing lately. Have not won a series since the end of July. Have lost 8 or 9 straight series, whatever it is. Just got swept by the Nationals. They've lost 3 series in the last month just to the Nationals alone. They're certainly, both in standings and in reality, a lot closer to falling to third place in the division behind the Nationals than they are passing the Atlanta Braves for that first place slot. So as we alluded to yesterday, something to get into today, we will look ahead to the weekend series in Miami. And in doing so, I also want to, coming up a little bit later, take a look at things to look for over these last 17 games, things that you can root for or get excited about. Because obviously, sadly, while the whole season we've had the ability to root for postseason success, for the opportunity to even play in that wild card game or in the regular play NLDS by winning the division, that has all been dashed. So what we can look for over these last 17 games, we will get into that as well. But as we discussed yesterday, I want to start the show off by continuing what we'll do for the next couple weeks, as we will, of course, look ahead to 2018 offseason, 2019 and beyond, and all that. Is, again, as you know, if you've listened to this show at all, I'm very bullish about the future and what's going to happen this offseason. But for now, it's time to look back on the season that was and eulogize it, remember it, all that type of stuff. As, we'll get into some of the good times as well, but you know, the first thing you do when you look at a season that does not end with a playoff appearance, or even when it does sometimes, but certainly in this case, a team that as recently as a month and a half ago was in first place, around first place, fighting for first place, and now clearly, definitively, the season grinding to a halt before many had hoped. So whenever that type of thing happens, you have to look back and say, you know, what went wrong? Where did it go wrong? Why did it go wrong? And who's to blame for it going wrong? And I think that last point, who's to blame, gets a little tricky, because there's a lot of blame to go around. It's not any one person's fault. I'm sure there are a lot of Phillies fans out there who would like to throw it all on Gabe Kapler and say, get that guy out of here. I knew he stunk. And of course, that would be a silly thing to do and short-sighted, because it is far from Gabe Kapler's fault. Gabe Kapler certainly played a role in it, but so did a lot of other people as well. We'll get to the blame game coming up, but just looking at what went wrong and looking at a team that had been so fun for the first 3.5-4 months of the season, where you really felt good about baseball in Philadelphia again for the first time in 7 years. We talked so many times this year. I said things like, this is the biggest series in 7 years in Philadelphia. And it was true each of those times, because for the first time in a long time, we had a team that was competing deep into the summer and competing for something real in a playoff spot. And, obviously it kind of crumbled there. And I think there are a few things you can look at as to what went wrong. I think first and foremost, as we've kind of discussed and alluded to, and many people have said, I think you have to step back and say, first and foremost, I don't think this team was as good as the record showed earlier in the season. we kind of fought against it. The run differential said they weren't as good as they had been playing. Expected wins, Pythagorean theorem for wins, all those types of things. And of course, just the fact that we were watching them every night and saying, how are they winning these games? They're not even playing that well. They're not hitting. They're not fielding all that stuff. But I think that they regressed a little bit and came back to earth. And it was tough because you watch them every night. And I said this yesterday, but it was true that while you knew that they weren't quite as good as the record showed in terms of talent level, consistency, all that type of stuff, there still felt like a chutzpah to this team, a toughness, a resiliency, a ability to bounce back, etude, as it were. And I think that we lost that over the last month and a half or so. And I think that's a clear sign of what went wrong. And I think that that was part of the reason I rallied against the idea that this team wasn't that good. And I still think, look, they're not a bad team. I think they're a team that could compete for a playoff spot, but I do think there was luck involved. And I think there was some toughness involved and some clutch hitting involved and the ability to find ways to win games and to never get too far down. I think all that mattered. And I think the biggest thing that went wrong is that stopped happening. This team stopped being resilient. They stopped getting back up off the mat when they got knocked down and started staying down for longer and longer and longer and longer. And ultimately it's caught up to them. I think another thing that went wrong is the Phillies really never found a way to beat bad teams. And it's so crazy because as we all remember, and I think when you look back on the season, some of our fondest memories will be those games they played, the four games, the 2-2 game series, home and away against the Boston Red Sox, because they went toe-to-toe with a historically great baseball team, at least a historically great regular season team, and they battled them. You know, if you're a Red Sox fan and you don't watch and you only watch the Red Sox play, the Phillies are probably one of the better teams in baseball in your mind because they played your team so tough. And it was exciting and heartening to see that, and it gave us all positivity. But then the team just struggled against teams that they had no business struggling against. I mean, losing more games than you win to the Mets? That's bad. This Nationals team, not a good baseball team. They have a lot of talent. They have not put it together all year long. Yet when they're playing the Phillies, they're world beaters. And they've got clutch hits, and they find ways to pull games out. They were like the Phillies were earlier in the year whenever they're playing the Phillies. You lose series to the Marlins, the Blue Jays. These teams are not good. And yes, this Phillies team, not as good as we thought they were, but certainly better than the teams we just mentioned. At least certainly better than the Mets and the Marlins in terms of talent level, in terms of overall production on the season. And they couldn't beat those teams in big spots when it mattered. And that's another thing that went wrong with this season. From a more micro level, I think you could say that Rhys Hoskins got really cold at the wrong time. That's another thing that went wrong. Rhys was, not having a MVP type season, but he was clearly the best hitter in the lineup for a long period of time. The streak he went on after the All-Star break, he had 7 homers in 10 days. He was seeing things great. There were stretches of baseball where he was a great hitter this year. And then there were stretches where he went cold. But the worst and most important stretch was the 20 to 30 game stretch over this past month and a half before hitting a few homers last weekend where Rhys just went cold as ice. And I mean, he had some of the worst at bats I've ever seen him have over that stretch. I can't remember whether it was against the Nationals or the Mets, but he had a game where he was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and just looked lost. Lost out there. Not swinging at pitches down the middle for third strikes. Just all kinds of stuff where Rhys went cold at the wrong time. And that happens. And again, you know, he's 190 games in his career, whatever it is. So you assume that with reps and time, that will improve. And then the consistency will be there more. And you're excited about the future with Hoskins. But he certainly didn't help them over the last month of the season, the most important month. Same thing with Odubel Herrera, but even longer. Odubel, just a lost disappointment of a season for that guy. Someone who there was such positivity about earlier this season when he obviously had the, 40-plus game, 43 game, 44 game, 42 game on-base streak. One of the best hitters in baseball for the first month and a half or so, a significant amount of time. And then just awful. And a guy who used to be a really good defender was terrible out there this year. We never got that second Odubel hot streak, which I talked about yesterday. You always expect, you know, he'll get cold, but then it's coming back. And imagine what an Odubel hot streak could have done for this team over the last month and a half. Again, they're 11-23 in their last 34 games. So things have gone bad. Another thing that went wrong, and this is something that didn't just go wrong, but it's the kind of thing where when you do it bad all season and over and over and over again, eventually it catches up to you. And that's play defense. Again, I don't ever remember a team that played defense as poorly yet was competitive for as long as they were as the Phillies this year. They're an atrocious defensive team. One of the worst I've ever seen. From a talent perspective, from an execution perspective, everything. Just bad. And they were getting away with it for a long time. I think, look, I mean, you think about how many games they lost because of it. That could be the difference between making the playoffs and not. You think about how many gut punch losses this team has this season. And think about what a difference those games would make. If you win half of those 15, 16 games, all of a sudden it's a completely different story. So the defense is the kind of thing where good teams just play good defense or fundamental defense, or they don't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. They don't make as many mistakes over such a long period of time. You just can't consistently do that. Baseball is a game of inches. It is too close that you know, you have to do the things that everyone else does to succeed. I mean, you can't not play fundamental baseball. You can't not do the little things and have success. Especially when you're not talented enough. We talked yesterday about how you don't have to necessarily have a bunch of blue chip players to win a World Series. We saw it with the Kansas City Royals. That's a team that had really no blue chip players on it. Eric Hosmer, a nice player. You know, no blue chippers. A really good team. But they were a team that did everything right. A team that played great defense. A team that ran the bases brilliantly. A team that was smart and used their heads. I mean, that's what you have to do if you're going to have a team that is not nearly as talented as some of the other teams you're playing against. You have to do all the little stuff. And this team did none of it. And again, I think that's a big factor that ultimately it caught up with them. And then, of course, you know, look, I think the biggest thing that went wrong is a young team that maybe wasn't ready for the moment, who knows, but brought in some veterans, all that, but ultimately what happened is they ran out of gas. You know, they just didn't have enough left to make that run at the end. And as we talked about yesterday, it's frustrating because, you know, they made these moves. They brought in Estrubel Cabrera and Wilson Ramos and Joey Batts and Justin Bourne, and they're cosmetic moves. They're moves that help a little bit, but aren't the type of moves that are going to drastically change your fortunes. And as a result, watching this team struggle with those guys has probably been even more frustrating than if we had just seen the kids struggle. So, and again, as we talked about yesterday, it's put a sour taste in people's mouth, which is the most frustrating part of this, because on the whole, it's been such a positive season for the most part in terms of development, in terms of growth, in terms of, you know, seeing what you have. And then the last month and a half of it has kind of erased a lot of that. And it's put a bad taste in people's mouth. And it's a shame, because I ultimately think that when you consider where this team was last year, you consider the talent level on the team, the lack of experience from the player to the manager to all across the board, I think it's been a successful season, no matter how it's finished. It's certainly not the way you want to see it end, but I think it's been successful. And I think that in the long run, we'll look back at 2018 as the beginning of something rather than just another bad year or another year where you played better over your head and then just kind of fell apart, which ultimately is what happened. But I do think in the long run, we'll look back on it more fondly than we do in the moment now. But as I said before, you always got to find some way to blame. And I'm not a huge blame guy, but coming up, we will take a look at where the blame lies. And then also, like I said, look ahead and think about some things that we want to see over these 17 games. What can we look forward to before the season comes to a close? All that and more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we look ahead coming up to the weekend series in Miami, as more so looking ahead to what we want to see over these last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the season to see what there is to be excited about with a playoff spot now out of grasp for all intents and purposes. But quickly, I mentioned the blame game, and I'm not a huge blame guy. I think that, you know, I give blame where warranted. I think that the tough thing to do with giving blame for this team this season is twofold. One, there's a fair amount of blame to go around. You know, you can blame Matt Klentak for the roster not being good enough, as we saw it play out, for not having enough arms in the bullpen, for not having enough starting pitchers based on guys like Eflin just wearing out and having nothing left at the end of the season. You can blame Matt Klentak for making cosmetic moves that ultimately brought in some older guys who didn't contribute enough and took some development time away from the youngsters. I think those are all fair complaints. To the other side, I would argue that I never expected this team to compete this year. I don't think Matt Klentak and the organization did either. And thus, I think that this roster is a work in progress. I think that they weren't planning for this roster to be the roster they competed for. And I think that Klentak tried to make some moves to supplement them, some things that he could do to maybe make them a little better while not sacrificing any part of the future. And I think that was a try worth taking, and it ultimately didn't work out. So I can understand it. You can put blame on Gabe Kapler. I think there's a fair amount of blame for Kapler. I think that when you look at, obviously, the fundamental type stuff, the defense, I blame the players a lot for that too, but those are your guys. You're the manager. You have to do a better job of making sure that these types of things don't continue to happen. And I'm sure there will be, you know, look, Kapler hasn't been a perfect manager this year. He's made mistakes. Personally, I think he's learned from them, and I think he's growing and getting better. But absolutely, Gabe Kapler deserves some blame. You know, look, you're the manager of the baseball team, and this team's 11-23 over their most, 11-23 over their most important stretch of the season. Sorry, some of that's on you. Now, to the flip side, I would say that first-year manager took a team of less talent than, you know, what it proved to be over the first 2.5 months of the 3.5 months of the season, and did a lot with it. And now it's starting to come back to earth. And I feel like he's learned. I feel like he's grown. He's clearly a smart guy. He's a baseball guy, played in the league for over a decade. We always forget that. But I think that he's learned, and I'm willing to give him a chance to grow and to get better. And I think ultimately, personally, when you look at Kapler, while again, he does deserve some blame, I actually think he's done a really good job in his first year as the manager. I would give him a positive grade, moving for positive grade for positive K, right? But I do think that I think that ultimately Kapler is going to be a very good manager, and I think this was the first step in that. But look, I think there's blame there as well, and then there's blame for the players. There's no question about it. You know, you got to make plays, and again, as we discussed, the talent level below where you want it to be, but defensively, while the talent is bad, and that's part of the reason that I hesitate to blame Kapler as much as you probably should for a manager whose team plays so poorly on defense, but it's a bunch of bad defensive players out there. But at the same time, the mental mistakes, the physical mistakes, all that type of stuff is partially on Kapler, but also partially on these players who've been playing baseball their entire lives, and they should know where to throw the ball in a situation. They should know not to throw a ball in a situation. They should know that they have to be covering a base, whatever it is, whatever the many maladies and mistakes we've seen this season. I blame the players for that as well. So I think that, again, that's why it's tough here to give blame, because you can really parse blame around. And I didn't even talk about John Mailey and the seemingly poor job the hitting coach has done, the staff there has done, in terms of not seeing much development from guys this year. I think Rick Kranitz, probably one of the few people you wouldn't throw blame at, is the pitching staff certainly overachieved. But look, I think there's blame to go around. And sometimes, the roster had some issues, the manager had some issues, the players had some issues. It happens. But the reason I said it was twofold before is because while we want to place blame, and while there is blame deserved for a failure towards the end of the season, I also think that we should be giving credit to this team for what they have done already. And yes, it's a big collapse. Yes, it puts a bad taste on it, but this is still a positive season. We've seen growth from guys. We've seen guys learn to fight through adversity, learn to play in important games, play in big games. And I think all that stuff matters. And I think it'll matter moving into the future. So while there's blame for the collapse, and we're going to want to put blame, and people will put blame, I do think that, again, the stepping back and having some perspective on it I think there should be less blame and more positivity, to use that word again, than we're probably getting at the moment, and warranted from the way it feels in the moment. But ultimately, I think once we step back, it will be a better taste in our mouths. And looking forward, like I said, while we don't have the playoffs, the carrot, the excitement, the potential of it anymore, and that stings and it burns, and it's turned a lot of people off from the team right now, as I said, kind of a sour taste in people's mouths. But there are still some things to get excited about over the last 17 games of the season. Sure, it won't have that same kind of fire to it, that same kind of excitement, but I want to see guys grow and develop. I want to see how Scott Kingery, and look, J.P. Crawford, two nights ago, awesome game. It's a home run, three hits, had a really good night. I want to see J.P. Crawford play. I want to see Scott Kingery play. I want to see Rhys Hoskins finish out his first 162-game schedule season, and I know he missed a few games in there, but I want to see Aaron Nola, and granted, probably not going to win the Cy Young at this point, but I want to see Nola finish out what has been one of the better seasons the Philadelphia Phillies pitchers ever had. You know, that's something fun that we can look to. We can look to see how the team responds to this. I think there's something exciting in seeing if this team can find a way to pull themselves out of this tailspin. And granted, yes, quote unquote, too late for all intents and purposes, but it would still be great to see this group of young guys, and hopefully it is the younger guys playing, see those guys pull themselves out of this and finish the season with a little respectability and pull themselves out of the tail slide, even if they finish the season at a 500 pace. You know, go 9-8 or 8-9 over the last 17. That'd be something. Win a series. And again, these are very small pacifiers, so to speak, when we all were thinking playoffs. We all were talking about October baseball and seeing Nola pitch in a big game in October and all that type of stuff. Of course, it's not. I'm not saying that, it's all good. I get it. But I am saying that there are 17 more games this Philly season until next April. It's a long time. I know that every time April comes around, I'm dying for the Phillies to play again. Even when I know in those few years, a little before the season, where I knew they had no chance, and this year was a breath of fresh air, at least to give us some fun baseball and remind us what that's like here. And again, I think there's a lot more of that to come. But I think with that in mind, it's worth having fun these last 17 games and looking for positives and looking for youth coming through in big spots and getting some more reps in the majors and some of the youngsters who get a chance to play and seeing how Kapler handles this. I'm really intrigued to see how Gabe Kapler handles this. This is his team's most prolonged, most pronounced slump of his entire managerial career so far. He's got 2.5 weeks left in the season to try and rectify that, try and put a good spin on the end of the season. I'm really intrigued to see how Kapler handles it. So I think there's interesting stuff to look for over this last 2.5 weeks of the season. And we can, of course, hope for the best. Obviously, playoffs will not happen. But I would really like to see this team finish this out, season out stronger, at least, and see some of the young guys get an opportunity to get some more reps up there. All right, this weekend, Miami coming into town. Who knows, with rain and stuff, what happens here. Hopefully they can get all these games in. I don't think the worst of it's supposed to start till next week, but Eflin against Wei Yin Chen tonight, starting off the series tomorrow night. Vincent Velasquez against Hernandez for the Marlins, and then in the capper on Sunday, Jake Gurriela takes it against Jose Urena. Of course, Urena, the jerk who threw at Ronald Acuna, if you remember that whole thing. But regardless, look, like I said, while it doesn't have the same judge, as it were, that it has over the first 3.5 months of the season, while it doesn't have the same fire excitement, there's still fun to be had over these last 2.5 weeks and the last chance to enjoy baseball for 6 months or 5 months or whatever it is. So hopefully get behind this team and hopefully it's a fun finish to the season, and that maybe they can kind of turn this end around and make people feel a little bit better about the way the season ended. All right, everyone have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back Monday with Phillies Today. We'll break down the weekend's action and continue to eulogize the season and look ahead to 2019 and beyond and all that. So all that coming up next week and after that as well. And then, of course, until then, keep it here. We've got you covered all weekend long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.